And today we're just looking at that second section on verses 25 and 32. It's going to be our focus this afternoon. Looking at the topic of anxiety and what Jesus tells us about these things. Matthew 6. So how many of you have spent hours pulling weeds, being in the garden, pulling up weeds again and again and again? Now, I grew up in Northland, and my father had this massive veggie garden, and me and my siblings, we would have spent untold hours pulling out weeds again and again and again. Now, one weed, which was particularly notorious, was the dockweed. I don't know if you guys have it down here, but this dock plant, right? And my brother and I once made it a goal to remove every single dock plant within the bounds of the garden. That was our aim. We actually quickly gave up because we lost heart. There was just too many of them. But the thing with the dock weed, as you will know, is that when you try and pull out the leaves, they break so easily and the root just stays in there, right? And then it just comes back all the stronger the next time it grows through. So today, we're going to look at a slightly different sort of weed than the dockweed. We're looking at the weed of anxiety. And anxiety, just like any other weed, has leaves, which may seem harmless and maybe even helpful, but its roots suck the very resources from the ground and suck all the nutrients from the soil. And just like weeds in the garden, if we don't pull out the roots of anxiety, it will keep coming back again and again and again. So uprooting anxiety is the main theme in these nine verses we're looking at. And to help us work through, we're going to break it up into three parts. We're going to first look at the sin of anxiety on verses 25, 29. Then the source of anxiety, 30 and 32. And finally, the solution to anxiety in verses 33 and 34. So the sin, the source, and the solution. So what was it back in the time of Jesus? What were the things that people were anxious about at his time when he was preaching to them? What were they concerned about back then? And so let's just read verses 25, 29, and just thinking of there's four things that we're going to see in this text that generally cause anxiety. So let's just read those together. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." So there's generally four things, roughly four things that he highlights, right? The length of life, food, drink, and the clothes that they wore. And I'm sure there was probably more things that these listeners would probably be anxious about, right? But Jesus highlights these four things, and we can see from them that these are the basic necessities of life, right? These are the things that they need to survive the next day, the next weeks. These are things that people depend on for their life. And so this creates like a baseline. He's telling us, don't even be anxious for those things. Don't be anxious for those necessities of life. Don't be anxious for those. But then when was the last time that you were concerned about going hungry? Or when you were concerned about feeling the bite of the cold because you didn't have the right clothing? But we get anxious too, right? Maybe not about food, maybe not about drink, or about clothing. But our hearts are quick to get troubled, to be consumed with worry, to be concerned, to be anxious about these circumstances and situations around us. We see these things happening, and our hearts are quick to be worried about these things. And it seems every time we do something, or every time we try and move forward in life, there's something, there's some reason to be anxious. We get anxious about missing the bus. We get anxious about giving that speech that we must give. Or we get anxious about that doctor's appointment. We get anxious about that conversation we need to have with this colleague that's not very approachable. We get anxious about having a conversation with a stranger. We get anxious about letting people know that we went to church on Sunday, let alone explaining the gospel to them. We get anxious about all sorts of things, right? We get anxious about how business is going. And even here in Timaru, right, we have the meatworks that are closing down. These are real reasons to be anxious about. Our economy. These are things that cause us to be anxious. And all of us have different pressures, different things. We all have different things that make us anxious. So I'm sure you have something in your mind that you know that you'll get anxious about something. Those things that you mull over in your mind when you're trying to go to sleep and it just keeps popping up in your mind. Those things that pop into your mind the first thing when you wake up in the morning. Boom, it's there. You're worried about it. You're anxious about it. These things seem to plague us on every side. It seems our hearts are constantly trying to find something to be anxious about. Even when we seem to resolve one thing, something else seems to pop up. And we seem to be consumed again and again and again by worry, by anxiety. Some of us might hide it better than others, but these pressures are real. But so what a horrible way to live. Constantly anxious, constantly worried about the next thing. It's exhausting. It's consuming, and ultimately it is destructive. But not only is anxiety or being anxious a horrible way to live, but more importantly, as we see in this text, Jesus commands us not to be anxious. When a friend tells you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about this thing. Don't worry about that speech. Don't worry about missing your flight. It's meant as a nice, reassuring statement, right? And it's trying to be nice and comfort you, to spur you on, to help you get through that situation. But when Jesus tells you, don't worry, he's not intending this as a well-intended sentiment. This is a command that we must obey. It's an order from our King that we must follow. To disobey Jesus is serious. To disobey Christ is sin. And so we must be clear here. To be anxious is to sin. To be anxious is to sin. Now this is completely contrary to what you're going to hear in common psychology in the world today, right? The world will tell you that you are anxious because of your circumstances. All these events around you, all these pressures on you, they're the things that are causing you to be worried, causing you to be anxious. You are the victim of what's happening around you. And you have no choice, no control but to be anxious. Of course you'll be anxious. But this is completely foreign to Scripture. And foreign to the teaching we see here by Christ. Here we actually have a moral choice to make. An anxious person isn't actually a victim who needs to be rescued from affliction. They're actually a sinner who must repent of their transgression. And the rest of Scripture is consistent with this. We're commanded not to be anxious. Again and again we're told not to fear. To be anxious is to sin. Even just in this passage, right? These verses we read in Matthew 6. Three times Jesus tells us, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life in verse 25. Do not be anxious about what you eat, drink, or wear in verse 31. Do not be anxious about tomorrow in verse 34. And then just one verse taken out from Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And there's many more in Scripture that tell us clearly, do not be anxious. And so I think we can be confident to say that it is against God's moral will for you to be anxious. To be anxious is sin. Now, before we dig deeper in understanding what makes being anxious so sinful, Just remember that Jesus here is not condemning planning in any sort of way, or any foresight or diligence. That's not what he's talking about. These are good and God-honoring things to do. It's right to think clearly and to plan things and circumstances. What Jesus is condemning is when foresight escalates into foreboding of the heart, or when due diligence escalates into worry. When a sailor sees a storm coming, it's good and right. He trims the sail, he buttons down the hatches, and he's ready for the storm, right? And this is good. It's good planning. But the next thing, he could either get on with the rest of his work and sail through the storm prepared, or as the storm's coming, he could be consumed by the very thought of it and let that worry consume him. Our hearts are quick to escalate due diligence into panic. And that's what Jesus is condemning here. Plan, be prepared, but don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. But why is being anxious such a big deal? Why is Jesus again and again, and throughout the scriptures again and again, we're told, do not be anxious, do not fear? Let's try and understand that by looking closely at our text. And here we're really trying to understand the source of anxiety. Why are we being so anxious? And so this brings us to our second point in our study. The source of anxiety. And so we cannot deny that we have weeds in our gardens. Our hearts get anxious. In a way, our feelings of anxiety, they're the leafy part of the weed, right? And to get rid of it, we must pull it out from the roots. We can't just cut off these leaves. We can't just get rid of these feelings of anxiety. We must go to the roots of anxiety. But to pull out these roots, we've got to figure out what they are. What are we actually trying to get rid of here? So let's read verses 30 to 32 as we seek to find the source or the root of anxiety. Verse 30 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." So, why do we get anxious? And we can draw three things from this text, which helps us to understand the source of anxiety. Firstly, having the wrong value system. Secondly, unbelief. And thirdly, idolatry. So let's look at this first one. We get anxious because we have the wrong value system. We're more concerned about things here on earth than things in heaven. Think of the grass of the field, Jesus says. It has zero eternal value. It is here today, gone tomorrow. Throw it into the fire. Yet, it is clothed better than kings. As humans, our lives will not end with this body. Our souls will live on. We have eternity to contend with. However, we're so quick to believe the lie that this life is where everything matters. That in this world, we can find fulfillment. We can find satisfaction. And so when these things in this world start falling apart, or have the possibility of being taken away from us, of course we get anxious. No wonder we keep getting anxious and anxious again and again. Because the good things of the earth are so fragile. So easy to be broken, so easy to be destroyed and taken from us. Anxiety stems from a place when we place value on temporal things instead of eternal things. So that's one of the reasons, one of the roots. But what else does Jesus point out for us as the root, the source of anxiety? Anxiety also stems from unbelief. Unbelief in God and who he is. In verse 32, we read, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things." Anxiety characterizes unbelievers. Those who are completely ignorant of God. Those who have no idea about the character or the works of God. Anxiety characterizes those also who have a distorted view of God. A right view of God, thinking clearly about God, will obliterate any worry, any anxiety. Because Jesus reminds us here, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows our needs. He knows our situations. He knows our circumstances. He knows our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And what more, he's our Father. He loves his children. And he's all powerful. He has all the resources at his disposal. What is there for us to be anxious about? But when we're anxious, we show our true colors. Being anxious shows that you don't really believe these promises God has made. The promise that he is able and he's willing to look after you. You're anxious because you don't actually believe that God cares for you and that he will meet your every need. You get anxious because you believe that God is not interested in this circumstance, in this particular circumstance that you will face. You believe that you have to face the circumstance on your own without God's help. Now, we often think that we would trust God. We would show real faith in God in the big test of faith, right? If we had to face the lion's den, or if we were in front of the Red Sea, then we would have faith in God, right? We would be right there with Daniel, we'd be right there next to Moses, we'd be like, we wouldn't be like the Israelites who were cowering in fear. And yet, here we are, unwilling to trust God for catching this bus or this plane or having a conversation with our grumpy colleague or having a conversation with a stranger. His word from Christ is true to us, ye of little faith. And this is where anxiety is so serious in the sight of God. When you are anxious about anything, about catching your bus or having that conversation or whatever it is, you're displaying that in your heart, you're displaying unbelief in God and doubting his character. And that's serious. That is serious in his mind. But anxiety not only reveals that we have the wrong value system and we have a unbelief in God at worst or a warped view of God, but it also reveals that we're trusting something other than God. We're trusting something different to God. Anxiety reveals idolatry. Seeming harmless worries of our day actually reveal this dark idol that we are worshipping in our hearts instead of God. Think of it this way. When you're anxious, what are you placing your trust in? When you get anxious, what are you relying on? What are you depending on for that specific situation? What are you trusting? Are you trusting the system as a whole? Are you relying on other people, maybe? Or maybe you're relying on your own abilities, your own ways of doing things. These things are not worthy of our trust and our dependence. God tells us to trust him, to depend on him, to have faith in him. Not in the system, other people's, and certainly not in our own abilities and capabilities. Worry and anxiety reveals that not only do we not believe God, but that we have replaced him with something else. And often that thing is ourselves. We trust our own abilities, our own capabilities, instead of trusting God. Again, Jesus points out to the Gentiles, the unbelievers. This is exactly what they do. Because they don't trust Jesus, nor do they rely on God, they will be anxious. They don't know God. They don't know his character, and they have idols in their heart. Of course they do. They're trusting other things. They're trusting their own abilities to do these things. So it is worth mentioning here that if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, then you have every reason to be anxious. This life will quickly go by. You'll face death sooner or later. And when you die, God will judge you for your sins and condemn you to hell. Jesus removes the reason for our greatest anxiety. He pays for your sins and welcomes you into heaven. Reject him, and you will be anxious all the way to the grave with good reason. But trust in him, and you will know peace. peace for the next life, but also peace in this life. A follower of Jesus has no reason to be anxious. Their eternal destiny has been secured, and we have a Father in heaven who knows our needs. So having seen the sin of anxiety, and having thought about these roots, the source of anxiety, we can now look at the solution to anxiety, which forms the final point of our study today. The solution to anxiety. So what tool do you need to get rid of dock weeds? Or any weed for that matter? Do you need a spade or a lawnmower? Now, someone with a lawnmower may give the appearance that his garden has no weeds, but the weeds are still really there, right? And so in a similar way, a confident person may appear to have zero worries about anxiety, zero issues with anxiety, but the root of anxiety is still very present in his heart. And so we cannot rid ourselves of the weed of anxiety by simply trying to remove these anxious situations from our life, or by trying to boost our self-confidence and self-esteem, or even by trying to resolve by being okay with the worst case scenario, just being, well, if the worst thing happens, so be it, I don't care. Those things don't address the root of our problem. And the weed of anxiety will just keep growing and keep growing. Now, the first thing which is implied then, as the solution, the first thing which is implied is that we need to repent. We need to repent from the sin of anxiety. Anxiety, as we've seen, is a sin against the holy God. And so the first thing we need to do is fall on our knees and confess to God. We confess in a specific way. We assume responsibility for our actions and for our thoughts. Because we are responsible in these situations to be anxious or to trust in Him. Sin is powerful. Sin is powerful in the fear of man, the fear of circumstances are very real. But we are clearly told again and again in Scripture that there is always, always a way of escape. And so we mourn over our sin. We let our confessions flow from godly sorrow, from the fact that we have betrayed our Savior, that we've turned from our Lord, and that we have committed yet another crime against our Father. Repentance is implied because anxiety is sin. But Jesus gives us some more concrete instructions as well. He says, keep your focus in the right place. Notice that in verse 33. Verse 33, when he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To seek first means to make paramount, to make that thing the chief thing in your thoughts and your minds. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, a lot could be said about those two things, but the key is that the focus is no longer on you, on your issues, on the circumstances around you, but to God and His purposes. Seeking the kingdom of God can be boiled down to evangelism, discipleship, and living with the very real knowledge that Christ will return one day. As we saw this morning, the kingdom of God can be thought of as conversion, commitment, and the second coming of Christ. Where we're more concerned about explaining the gospel to that person sitting next to us on the bus than whether or not it will arrive on time. We're more concerned with our brother and our sister's sanctification and their holiness than being anxious about having that confronting conversation with them. We're to be more concerned with the return of our Lord as He comes back in glory than whether or not the interest rates will return to a lower place. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. But we also are to seek His righteousness. Because as believers, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness is counted as our own. And we are to seek to understand, to ponder, to rest in that fact. We have been declared righteous because of His righteousness. Thanks to Him and His work, we have a right to stand before a holy God. We've been saved from hell. Our future is secure in Him. Let's make those thoughts paramount in our thinking and see how anxiety melts away in the face of that. But we're also to seek to live out this righteousness. Through the Holy Spirit, He imparts this righteousness as we're sanctified every single day. Day by day, we're being made closer to the image of Christ. And so use your strength. Use your time. Use your resources to advance your sanctification. Pray, read, meditate on God's word. Take part in the means of grace. Sing, serve, give, be diligent and intentional in your sanctification. Know God deeply. Study His word. So we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and anxiety will be pulled up by the roots. Not only will you have no time to be anxious, but your mind and your heart will be so focused on Him, on His purposes, that when that anxious situation comes up, it will have no grip on you whatsoever. And the final point Jesus makes about uprooting anxiety is keeping our focus on the present, keeping our thoughts here today. Because I think you'll agree, 95% of our anxiety, of our stressing out, is being worried about something that could happen, something in the future that could perhaps happen, but that may never actually happen. But Jesus says here, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As said before, Jesus isn't saying, don't plan, don't think ahead. But He's saying, don't be consumed about what could and may never actually happen. Do your work today, which could, and very often includes planning. Commit the results to God. And tomorrow is another day to address other issues, other challenges, but also other joys. In his book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis touches on this idea, and he makes this point. Satan wants a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end, never honest, nor kind, nor happy now, but always using every real gift which is offered to them in the present as mere fuel to heap on the altar of the future. We can be so consumed about future possibilities that we miss the joys of the present by worrying about something that may never actually happen. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So do you see God's gracious solution to anxiety here? Thank God that He doesn't require you to be more self-confident or to flee all situations that cause anxiety. To get to the root of anxiety, we must fill our minds with the right things. We must seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and focus on our work at hand today. So in this short study, we've considered the weed of anxiety. We have seen that our hearts are quick to be anxious. And not only is anxiety, being anxious, unhelpful and unhealthy, but it's also a sin against God. It's a sin of unbelief and it's a sin of idolatry. When we are anxious, we are not believing the promises God has made, nor are we believing the truths about the character of God. So we must repent. We must turn from these sins of anxiety. And once we have repented, we must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And God promises, He commits Himself, He puts His name on the line and pledges that He will provide everything that you need. So do not be anxious. Let us pray. Father, we know that our hearts are full of sin. We know that You have redeemed us, You have rescued us. We know that sin has no power over us. But we still struggle with sin, and we struggle with the sin of anxiety as well. Father, we thank You that You show this to us. We thank You that You not only show it to us that it's unhelpful and a sin against You, but You show us how deeply it goes and how deeply rooted it goes. Father, we thank You for Your word that clearly shows us how we can get rid of the sin of anxiety. And Father, we pray by Your grace that we would seek to obey Your commands and pursue Your kingdom and seek your righteousness first and do away with any anxious thought. Father, we rely on you and we know that you are our good and gracious Heavenly Father. And so we trust in you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for our closing song.
Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.